So welcome this morning over Bastille weekend. See, some of us survived it. I know many of us have our favorite seats in the church that we sit in every week. So if your neighbor's not here this morning, just shoot up a prayer for them. Maybe they're still suffering the after effects of a good Bastille. You never know. But I think it rained out ever so slightly this weekend. Last week we chatted a little bit about good things, and then it came to me the slogan that I have confirmed during the week is indeed a Guinness slogan, was used during the ad campaign. So sorry about that, but we've redeemed the application. If you go the next slide, yes, good things indeed come to those who wait. And we also had a saying in showbiz. I had a short time in showbiz. I don't know if you've seen in the classifieds, there's these ads for extras. Extras wanted, you know, all shapes and sizes. And, you know, having three little kids, you're always a bit strapped for cash. So I thought, you know, I could moonlight as an extra in movies or adverts or whatever, just to kind of supplement the budget a little bit, you know, while I was out there in Tableview, because they shoot a lot in Cape Town. And so I answered the ad. I was able to go on set for a number of adverts and stuff. It's mostly for overseas commercials, so fortunately you won't see me. But you won't see me anyway, because as an extra, you're just kind of this blurry picture in the background, just to kind of create the environment and the atmosphere. So you're literally just a prop. On set, the directors and the actors think less of you than, you know, it's a dry slice of bread. You're just like, mostly you're just in the way. But they want you like a prop, you know, when the props are meant to be on set, that's when you're meant to be on set as well. So you get notified the day before, whatever, and then you, the next morning, you got to be there like 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. And if they call on you for actual, you know, to be in the scene by 10 a.m., then you've actually done well. So the slogan that was used there amongst the extras was hurry up and wait, because that's what the directors are always shouting at you and whatever, but then they don't need you half the time. And I really, you know, I'd give my all when I do things. I'd really try my best, even as an extra, knowing that you're just this blur in the background. But there was kind of this hope always. If you're on camera for something like between 1 and 2 seconds, where they can identify that's you, then your pay will, you know, go up from like, say, 1,000 rand for that day, can go up to like 10,000 rand or something like that. So, you know, I'm like, if I can just, you know, if they can just get my face in somewhere, then I won't have to do this for that much longer, because this is like painful. You know, the food was good on set, but the rest, this waiting the whole time. And with all the other extras, I did have some very interesting conversations and got the opportunity to share the gospel with people that otherwise might not hear the gospel. The people generally that were on set wouldn't move in church circles, far from it. So it was interesting. But now this, I just had a chuckle a bit earlier, and I thought, I must tell you the story. Just our, you know, this hope of maybe striking it big, you know, with a big payday, so that you don't have to continue in this extras capacity. But so we're doing a Coke Zero commercial there in Camps Bay in the high school there. Anyway, I won't go into the whole story of the plot of the ad and all of that. But we had to dress up in, you know, some costumes and whatever, and we had to have these banners, and we were this crowd that was now very excited for the celebrity who was to come. We this like this crazy fan club. Anyway, so I'm like getting into this role now, and so now we come into the library section where this famous author or chef or somewhere, I can't even remember, is sitting signing autographs. And so the camera is now rolling and whatever. Now we're rushing in. And now I'm part of a select group that has to come in now first or whatever. So I think we're about 10 people. And there's a llama as well. So it's very interesting. And so, yeah, we come in. A llama had a jersey on, by the way. So we're coming into the library there, and I'm going all crazy. I'm like, yeah, you know. And then the next second, I just hear the director, cut, cut. And it's like, everyone's like, and then he's like, who's this guy? So pointing to me. It's like, what you even doing yet? Get off the set, you know. So I was trying a bit too hard, you know. You have to kind of be inconspicuous. You got to, like, bring the flavor, but you mustn't take over the show kind of thing. So I was trying a little bit too hard for my, you know, my extra moment on screen there. But yeah, I had many other good commercials. So, but that slogan, hurry up and wait, that was quoted so many times a day. The one day, and it was for some other commercial, quite a big payday, like $1,000 just for the day. We had to be there early again. And they didn't use us at all. The whole day we were just sitting around, just eating, sitting in the tent, waiting. And the director never wanted us, so oh, that's okay. Anyway, hurry up and wait. Good things come to those who wait. I must say my patience grew a bit thin. It gets a bit boring on set like that. But last week we spoke about a few of the people in the Bible that had to wait on things. And another one that comes to mind is obviously Abraham, that waited for the son of promise that he received when he was 100 years old. He waited a long time with Sarah having been barren. But we spoke specifically about Jacob in Genesis 29 that worked for 7 years for Rachel and then got Rachel but had to work another 7 years more because he got tricked into it, into having Leah as a wife. But it says there in verse 20 of Genesis 29 that it was to him just like a few days because he loved her so much, you know. And what I want to say is it's worth it to wait. When you know God is in it, when God is asking you to wait for something, to be patient, patience doesn't come to us naturally. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, also referred to in some translations as long-suffering. Immediately that shows you it's not necessarily a pleasant thing. Okay, who wants to suffer and who wants to suffer for a long time? No one's putting their hands up. When Bessel's just touching his eye there at the back, it wasn't a hand. I see that hand. So no one wants to suffer a long time. And patience is not really something that that we're going to get overnight if we pray for it. We looked at Isaiah chapter 40, the popular verse in verse 31 of Isaiah chapter 40 that says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Just before that, in verse 30, it says of how the young men, in the next slide, how the young men will faint and be weary and shall even fall exhausted. When we do things in our own strength, we spoke a bit about that, you know, plan B. With God, there isn't a plan B. Okay. He continues on the path. If you go off on a detour, he'll bring you back to the path, but he's got a plan for your life. God knows the plan that he has for you. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he knows what his plan is for you, and he's God, and his plans don't fail. So when we love him and we make a mistake, he brings us back. But no good us bringing along plan B. Abraham didn't bring along plan B when God asked him to offer up his son Isaac, the son of promise. In Hebrews and chapter 11, you'll read about how Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. He was going to go through with that plan to kill his son. God was testing him. But God provided the ram in the thicket for Abraham to offer. But Abraham himself didn't bring a sheep or a goat along with Isaac up that mountain and try to negotiate with God at the top of the mountain. So often we do that. So often we resort to plan B when plan A starts to tarry. So we're speaking about waiting. We're speaking about patience. And in this week, I spoke to so many people at different times that are going through something where they are waiting on the Lord and they're finding it difficult and challenging. And so I really know that this is something that the Lord wants to, He wants to do something in our hearts here. And the word in wait in Isaiah 40 verse 31 is also substituted in some translations by the word trust. I think in the Hebrew there's a lot to be said for that word, and wait is one component, and it often goes hand in hand with this trust, with faith, believing in God. And two things that I asked us to hold on to when we find ourselves in a valley, when a desert, and we've got to wait for the outcome, is to know that God loves us and that He's in control. If we truly know that, it will make it so much easier to wait. We'll be able to endure because we know that God's going to bring the answer. He's going to bring the outcome. If we know that He loves us and we know that He's ultimately in control of everything, nothing happens or can happen that is beyond His control or His ability. He's sitting on the throne of the universe. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. So we can trust Him. When the wait seems long, you can know God is still sitting on His throne. He's still in control. Trust in Him and wait a bit longer. It will come to pass. There's a couple of funny, I don't know what they call them. They call them memes or something that are found. How's that one? Patience is what parents have when there are no witnesses. When there are witnesses, sorry. Patience is what parents have when there are witnesses, okay? You know, you've had kids in the mall, the supermarket, they see a toy, you know, and you want to resort to restraining them. Maybe even physically just dragging them away, and you just know that it's going to raise some eyebrows. Some people might be like, child abuse. And so you have a lot of patience with your child. You'll tell them no 100 times instead of resorting to the normally, you know, what works. Because there's no corners there in those long toy aisles. You can't sit in the naughty corner or, you know, bring Mr. Burns along to the supermarket or whatever, you know. So there's a funny one. There's two more I've got for you. We've got to have Minion up there. Started the week with a big box of patience. The box is empty now. He's not very happy. And then finally, and we spoke about this last week, Lord, bless me with patience, not opportunities to be patient. I've had plenty of those, and they don't seem to be working. The actual patience. Okay? I want the actual patience. So unfortunately, you know, he's likely to get some more opportunities to be patient. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. That fruit will grow. That fruit will come if the roots are in the right place. The soil needs to be right. The climate and all of that. Most often, the soil and the climate contains a lot of challenges to grow the fruit. It's not just going to grow when the sailing is plain and peaceful. So we can pray for patience, and yeah, we're going to be tested in that department. You know that I'm not one for cues and so on. And you know, so often we want something so desperately. And the challenge when it comes to God and our faith walk and praying, hearing from God, is that we can all hear wrong. And it's very easy to hear something that you want to hear. Okay? Because everything that that manifests that we end up doing in this life has to go through the old brain and the imagination. And so sometimes God's instructions get mixed up with some of our own desires. God's also not the only one talking to us. Also got the enemy that tries to throw a few nuggets in there to try and get you off track. He might not necessarily distract you where you completely go in a different direction, but he can just sow a few seeds that's going to divert your course even just 1 degree to the left or the right, and guess where you're going to end up? Not at the destination where God wants you. So we need to be very careful. Some things don't need a lot of prayer. What color do you want your bicycle to be? That kind of thing. Just ride it. Get on it and ride. But other things are going to take more prayer. You're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to trust for confirmation. You're going to want to share it with some people that you trust that know God's voice as well. Small group facilitator. Some good friend that you've been walking a road with. Too often we sin in the area of presumption. There's many examples of that as well in the Old Testament. And we see how the earth can open up and swallow you in whole. Just a picture of how it's not a good thing to walk ahead in presumption. Making our own plans instead of waiting on the Lord. Why would the Lord have us wait for things? One reason that comes to mind is that which we gain quickly, we don't appreciate as much. You only love that which you are prepared to sacrifice for. It's amazing when you start out in, you know, a new family, you've just gotten married, you're working hard for peanuts, bottom of the food chain, you know, and you buy that microwave or something, first purchase together as a husband and wife, you know, and you can stand in the kitchen for like half an hour just looking at this microwave and marveling at how beautiful it is, because you know you worked hard for that. But if you got 50 million in the bank account, you're not going to stare at that microwave for half an hour after you buy it. Unless it's a really good looking microwave. But you only love that which you are prepared to sacrifice for. We've spoken recently about how God blesses work. Work is a good thing. We don't deserve to eat if we're not willing to work. And so, you know, God wants to develop us. He wants to grow us through this process of waiting, being patient. I'm sure we could all come up with a relatively long list of things that we would like, a wish list, a nice-to-have list. Now, imagine if we could go down that list, and as we say those things, they just appear in front of us. As we say those things, do you know that that list is not going to end? You'll just, you know, when you get to the bottom of the page, you're going to come up with more things. And you're going to start looking for God's hand only instead of just his face. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to have relationship with him. And I think more often than not, it's in those periods of waiting between receiving the promises of God that we are building relationship with him, that we are growing in him. That we actually have time to spend time. But if we're just in a place of receiving, if we're just in that place of getting from God the whole time, it's going to become a distraction within itself. And we'll lose out. We'll miss the plot completely. It's in our own best interest not to receive the things so quickly the whole time. It's in our own best interest that God makes us wait. Faith can only be real if it's tested. Otherwise, how do we know? Now, there's different scenarios for waiting. In Habakkuk 2, verse 2 and 3, the prophet brings a word from the Lord. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You can add the word unnecessarily to the end of that in the Afrikaans. Let's say onnodig daarso. So, yes, it's going to take time, but it's not going to carry on forever that you're going to wait. But it's worth waiting for, but it's for an appointed time. You see, God has a plan. And our God may be surprising for some, but he's a God of detail. I mean, it's amazing what you can see under electron microscope. It's amazing the detail that you find in nature, in the tiny little insects. He's a God of detail. And when it comes to time, he also has a very specific time that he wants something to come to pass. A good thing at the wrong time is not a good thing. God is never too early, he's never too late. He's never early, he's never late. He's always on time. We are not actually waiting for God. God is waiting for us. That's the truth of the matter. So sometimes we're standing in faith for something. A promise of God. This is a good thing. We're standing in faith. And no, we don't understand why it's taking so long. To the best of our knowledge, this thing would be a good thing right now. We don't understand why it's taking longer. God knows. We live in a world that is under the constraints of time, where split seconds matter. You just need to ask 100 meter sprinters. Split seconds matter. And split seconds, if you're on the road and there's a potential of car wrecks, split seconds can make the difference between life and death. Some of us, yeah, have been in accidents where if it was 1 second earlier, 1 second later, you wouldn't be sitting here anymore. Seconds matter to God. Split seconds matter to God. And so when we have to wait for something, we can trust God. He knows what's best. If it's something that he wants to give us, we've been praying about it. We need to enter that rest, that peace of God. Why does he make us wait? Oftentimes, we don't have the character to handle what he wants to give us. And it's in that desert time, it's in that time of waiting, when it feels like you're not even heading in the direction of what God wants to give you and what he's spoken to you. It's there where your character gets built. Provided we respond in the right way. When a child gets promised a sweet or something, little toddler, they're starting to get excited. And they want it now, they want it yesterday. Okay? Now the child can wait patiently for that sweet, and you're going to reward them maybe with the extra sweet. Or they can start throwing a tantrum, and they'll be lucky if they get half a sweet later on. Both children were waiting. It took time for both of them to get eventually what they wanted. But whose character was growing and who kind of took a step backwards in terms of development? You know? How do we respond to this delay, our perceived delay in receiving what God wants for us? How do we respond to that? That's very important. I mentioned last week that one of the movies that I've watched and enjoyed the most, Fireproof. It's a movie on marriage. And this guy's wife, you know, was wanting a divorce, and she gave him papers. And he had a change in his life. The Lord came into his life, and he wanted her back. But he was waiting on her. He was waiting and praying that God would change her heart. And the music in the background during those few scenes was a song. I don't know who sings the song, but it's goes like this, you know, I will worship while I wait. And I think that is the right attitude. That is what we ought to be doing when we're waiting on God for that breakthrough, when we're waiting on God for that promise and that vision to come to pass. You know, God speaks something to us, He gives us a promise, and then there's this time before it comes to pass. Someone once said that often it works like this. Often that vision first dies, has to get crucified and then resurrected before it comes to pass. There's a process that has to happen where you are able to put your complete trust in God. Where you realize, I'm not going to do this in my own strength. Too often when we get a message from God and we want to run ahead, we'll be running in our own strength, we'll be running in presumption. Isaiah 40 verse 30, the young men, they shall fall when you go in your own strength, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. What God has in store for us, we cannot do in our own strength. Where our strength ends, that's where God's begins. And that's what we need. We need God's strength. So sometimes we find ourselves in a place of waiting, and it's just maybe inconvenient, slightly uncomfortable. You know, your faith is out there. Other times, the Bible speaks of times of suffering, times of trial. Now just very quickly, obviously there's a couple of reasons why we can suffer, sometimes as a result of sin, something the enemy is doing to us, and other times purely for our faith in God, that we will suffer. Okay, there's righteous suffering, and then there's suffering as a result of sin. But what does Paul say, someone who knows about suffering? What does he say in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 4? I saw Renelle had it on her Facebook this week. And I thought, thanks, Renelle. That was for my sermon on Sunday. But I'll share it anyway. It's a good scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Some translations says patience. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Okay. That patience, that waiting will only produce character, let me emphasize, if we're responding to that time in the right attitude, in the right way. Are we throwing tantrums? Then we're not producing character. Then we're producing some other fruit. Or are we worshiping the Lord while we are waiting? And this is talking about tough times. This is not just life carries on, but I'm waiting for like an extra promise of God to come to pass. This is going through trials and tribulations, suffering. This is, you are suffering and still you're required to wait. While you're waiting, you're suffering. And our attitude is meant to be one of rejoicing. That doesn't come naturally. That doesn't even make sense. But when we respond in that way, this is possible. With God, this is possible. This is a testimony. What are the people around you going to say? They know you're going through a tough time. Maybe they're going through the same trial. Difference is they don't have God. You have God, and they see you rejoicing. They see you going through this with an attitude of joy. Wow, that's a testimony. That speaks louder than words. Rejoice in suffering. Produces perseverance, endurance, patience, which in turn produces character, which in turn produces hope. And our hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. Jesus Christ, our hope of glory. Our hope is not empty. Our hope, which pertains to the things that will come hereafter, being with God in the fullness of His glory and His majesty, that is not an empty hope. Jesus is coming back for His bride, and we've already been given the engagement ring, the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, the Arabon. We've been given that. He's coming back for us. Our hope is not empty. It's substantiated by His Holy Spirit. So, we say it many times and we'll say it again. God is more interested in your character than your comfort. It's about growing. It's about growing. Next month is going to be all about growing. That's going to be our theme for the month. So maybe this is just a bit of a precursor to that. But that's what's all important. That's what this life is about. Life, it's training for reigning. One day we're going to rule and reign with Christ. And this is training. That's all it is. Preparation. And it's a flash in the bucket compared to an eternity. So even the suffering, this too will pass. If you're going through a hard time, if you are suffering, take heart. Be encouraged. This time will pass. You will get through it. God loves you and He's in control. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus speaks of the end times. There's always been people speaking of the end times, and now it seems like there's a lot of people that just speak about the end times. It's important to know about the end times and some signs of the times. We mustn't let it distract us completely, because it has that potential. There's still a lot of things that have to happen, and certainly they can happen in a very short space of time. Jesus can come back this week. He can come back any time. No one can put a date on it. But it's going to be tough times. It's going to be tough times for Christians and believers. They will kill us for our faith. There will be many deceivers, many false prophets. Christians will get deceived. So we need to be vigilant. We need to be prayerful. We need to watch and pray. But the Lord says that those who endure to the end, verse 13, shall be saved. We need to endure. We need to wait. We need to be patient. We need to be prepared to go through long suffering. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. There's an amazing promise. There's an amazing reward. And this is true for every time that we wait patiently, trustingly, faithfully on the Lord. He rewards those who wait. They shall renew their strength. Be encouraged this morning. I know that there's many here that are waiting on the Lord for something specific, that are waiting while they're going through a very tough time. Be encouraged. The Lord knows. Lord knows what you're going through. Stay prayerful. Stay committed to the Lord through the process. Allow Him to do a work for you. There's a reason that you're waiting. God doesn't do anything without a reason. He doesn't withhold things from us spitefully. He waits for the right time. And He's waiting for us. He's waiting for a certain response. He's waiting for something to drop in our spirit. He's waiting for something to click. He's waiting for us to get something of a revelation of what He's trying to do in our hearts. And there's an amazing reward when we can respond in the right way. So don't lose heart. Be encouraged. It's worth the wait. Good things come to those who wait. I'd love to pray for us this morning, but first I want us to, Melissa, if we can sing that song, Cornerstone, that we sang second this morning. I'm trusting God just for revelation for each of us this morning in in terms of what He's doing in each of our lives specifically as we're waiting on Him. I'm pretty sure each of us have at least two or three things on our wish list that we would like God to do in our lives, in our families, in our business, in our character. Some fruit that we want to grow in our lives, and it's just taking a long time. But just to get a fresh revelation of what God is busy with in our lives. Too often we're running ahead of God. And we want to be on His page. We want to be in step with Him. He's got an appointed time for everything. And He reminds us of that every day. As the sun rises and sets, God's universe works like clockwork. It's consistent. God could have ordained it in some other way, but that's how He made it. Our days have 24 hours. I've eaten many bar ones. I've never had a 25-hour day. Okay. Yeah, let's just sing that together and stand, or you can sit if you want. And then I'd like to invite you to the front if you find yourself in a time of waiting and you haven't had an answer yet. You're going through a tough time. I'd love to just pray with you and stand in faith with you. There's certainly room for that. So as we sing, you're welcome to come forward. And when we finish singing, you're welcome to enjoy some tea or coffee. Thank you for your time this morning. Enjoy the rest of Bastille weekend. God bless you.